From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is my partner here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. I'm coming to you live from the Cheesehead TV podcast studio in New York City. Corey joins us live from Green Bay, Wisconsin, across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we thrill to the victory over the Saints and get ready to watch the Packers take on the Lions tomorrow. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Rashawn Bain Gary.
Yeah. We got the bad. We got
punt coverage optional.
We got the ugly. We got
penalties. Penalties. So many fucking penalties. Banky, I think they just threw another flag.
Three days later.
That's a hell of a hat you got there, Corey Banky.
I like it. You know, it's funny, you know, at halftime we were talking about, like, it's crazy that time of possession was, we were 3 minutes ahead at the half on time of possession. And, you know, you look at all the stats were better except penalty yards. It literally was penalties. The penalties in that punt return are the only reasons that we were out of that game, seemingly.
I mean, the penalties were just insanity. It was weird going back and watching, because even when you know they're coming, like on the replay, you know how the game ends, you know how it transpired, and I'm still sitting there going, another fucking holding call or another false start? Like, you just, it was as frustrating watching it on the replay as it was watching it live. I did appreciate Matt being asked about it. I think it was Wilde asked him about how his teams have not been penalty prone. Like, that has not been a thing in Green Bay.
Well, you know what I was kind of thinking, and I said this out loud at the end of the game, is you almost felt like, because there were so many injuries, you almost felt like the team was figuring themselves out that first half. It's like, oh, hey, we haven't played together before. Right. Okay, let's figure this out.
We're all real young, and we're all kind of just thrown together, and let's go. Yeah, there's definitely some of that. I don't doubt it. But you know how we start each and every week. We get the good, the bad, and the ugly out of the way. But now it's time for the best part of the show. I don't know why we do this right off the top, because it is the best part of every week. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, for the hotness. Let's go. For the hotness. Oh, baby. So many plays on offer this week for the hotness. But I had to go with the play that I think a lot of people were gravitating to after this game. And not, it's funny because it's not one of the touchdowns. It's not one of the big, huge pass plays. It's not even one of Rashawn Gary's three sacks, though. You could have taken your pick out of any one of those. But this play, we're going to loop it. We're going to play it twice, because the first time I want you guys to watch Jordan Love looking like a mirror image of Aaron Rodgers on the guitar fake. And then the second time around, watch Dontavian Wicks leave a man in his wake with his release off the line of scrimmage. Let's take a look here. Now, here he goes. Quarterback under center sends a man in motion. Look at that fake. Look at that fake. Are you kidding me?
And then he faked me.
And then the sidearm throw.
For sure.
Now watch Wicks way to the right. Look at him and just go, see ya. And his dude is like 5 yards off. I mean, that is absurd. That is such an absurd.
He faked me out on watch party. I'm pretty sure I said handoff. I'm pretty sure I said handoff, and then I was like, oh, no, play action. Just kidding.
Nope.
Just joking.
He's still got the ball. He's done the ball in the belly, and you got the extended hand. That is sweet. Dare I say hot. That is the hotness. That's the hotness right there.
You know what I still don't get? I don't understand. I don't understand. Why are the Packers the only team in the NFL to do this? Why? Why has it funny. Like you have a copycat league and no one has right. copied the Packers on
the guitar
this playbook?
Fake? Well, what's interesting,
the playbook of quarterbacks, of letting your quarterback sit for 2 years. It's ridiculous.
Right.
You're going to spend $50 million on an old washed up quarterback. I'm not naming any names, but anytime right. people are willing to do this, but you're not willing to let a guy sit that you're only paying like, you know, $3 or $4 million for 2 years. It's incredible to me. Like the success of the Green Bay Packers over the last 30 years. It's crazy.
Right. And see, that's,
it's not a fluke now. It's a trend. Okay.
They look at the investment that they're making and the way that the league is set up now. Teams want to take advantage of that window with the young quarterback. They want to hopefully find a dude who will grow into the guy they have to pay big money to. But while they don't have to, they want him on the field so they can surround him with a bunch of high-priced dudes because they can take advantage of the fact that they're not paying the quarterback a ton. And the Packers got kind of caught in the middle there, right? Whereas, you know, yes, it would have been great to take advantage of Jordan Love's rookie contract, but they did have Aaron Rodgers, and he was playing at an MVP level, so they kind of got the best of both worlds, so they probably hung on a year too long. Maybe.
It's just weird. Possibly. It's still weird, though. It's still weird that no other teams do it. You know what I'm saying? It's like...
Yeah, well, not yet. Also, let's see what happens. If Jordan does become pretty damn successful, maybe they do.
Here's the thing. You know? In those 30 years, and this is something I don't think everybody knows, because I certainly missed this somehow. I don't even know how I did. The Packers are the all-time winningest team in the NFL.
Word.
They have more wins than any other team in the NFL all-time, and they did not have that. This is only recently that they surpassed the Bears, I believe. But
Bears, yeah.
Ugh, and then the Giants. I think it's Packers, Bears, Giants, and I think Patriots are right behind. I can't remember. I saw this like YouTube, like our TikTok thing where they showed the thing. But it's incredible, right? And it's in that 30 years where we've overtaken. So you put those two stats together. You put draft and develop quarterbacks, allow the quarterback to sit for 2 or 3 years, get in there, and that is the formula for success, that you can become the winningest team in football. So good times.
Well, I don't know if one directly correlates to the other, like,
I mean,
without any other context and or, you know, support, but I hear what
they
you're
correlate
saying. Certainly
they're not conflating, they correlate.
Let's get to some Packers news, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Big, huge, humongous, awesome good news leading us out of the gate here. Aaron Jones and Christian Watson should, now I am underlining and italicized, should be back for Thursday night's game. This is obviously a big deal. The Packers have greatly missed Aaron Jones. We haven't even seen Christian Watson yet this season. Really excited to watch both of them hopefully help carve up the Lions tomorrow night. Good news, Banky. That's good news. That's good news.
Very, very exciting. I mean, I'm going to believe it when I see it. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm definitely with you on that one.
Oh, you know what I forgot? Wait. I forgot.
What,
something. Wait, okay, ready? You're not gonna see me, you're just gonna hear me. Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it just hit me in the face. That's hilarious. I got it all over my face. That's really funny. Oh, I got it right here. Little carry you there, people.
You almost got me to snarf. That was really good. Thank God I wasn't on camera.
Carry the G for you. My first beer of the day. I like it.
Always love some Carry the G. By the way, Carry the G now available in the Fox Valley area. A couple of Appleton locations spreading throughout the valley.
Couple two tree. Like and it, we, got the, we got couple the Northwest Territories. We got the Northwest Territories. We actually have it in La Crosse. We're about to make that. It's going to be on our webpage, but we do have it on in La Crosse, which was a much requested. Not Hudson, Wisconsin. We're going to get it to Hudson. So
we're working on it.
You wanted it Hudson.
We're working on it. All right, keeping on with the news. Unfortunately, the rest of the news isn't as rosy. David Bakhtiari, Elgton Jenkins, and Devondre Campbell will not play tomorrow night against the Lions. They have already been declared out. Obviously, Bakhtiari. It's a bit of a hit and miss proposition at this point. You never really know what you're going to get, but he is out. He will not play. He and Jenkins are both out. And Campbell, you know, you hate to see the fact that he was playing pretty decent ball coming into the game against the Saints and to see him go down. It really stinks. But Isaiah McDuffie, next man up. Let's go. So that's, I mean, that's some hefty lifting there at tackle and guard that will be out. But Zach Tom, who did suffer that injury later in the game against the Saints, he's dealing with a knee injury. He is questionable. So there's a chance he could play. Obviously, what's interesting is that last year in this game in Green Bay, the last game of the season, when Josh Nyman was the starter, he was banged up with a shoulder injury. He gave way to Tom, and Tom, you know, end of the year, but somewhat healthy, he was taken advantage of by Hutchinson throughout that game. I don't know if throwing him out there with a bad knee is really the way to go, but we'll see. We'll see. Could be we have a Rashid Walker, Josh Nyman pairing at tackle tomorrow night. Okay. And then also, Banky, did you know, yeah, I just kind of found this out during the day, today, on this here date in history, Vince Lombardi had his first victory as a pro head coach when he led the Packers to a 9-6 victory over the Chicago Bears. And the Bears have continued to suck ever since.
How great is that?
This day, 1959, September 27th. I love it. I absolutely love it. Vince Lombardi, start of a dynasty. Today, September 27th in 1959. You absolutely love it. All right, let's get to the offense. Let's get to your boy, Rashid Walker, who stepped in at left tackle yet again for one missing David Bakhtiari.
I don't know if you know this, Nagler, but it is Rashid Walker season. Okay. I'm officially declaring it Rashid Walker season.
Mm. So that's an interesting declaration. Well, he's playing very well. You know, I can't really say he's lights out in the run game because no one up front for the Packers is at this moment. But no, he has played exemplary football for a dude making, what, his second start in the NFL. I thought he played a really good game again against the Saints. Going to need him. Going to need him to step up against this impressive Lions defensive front. But he is answering the bell. Again, for a guy who played all of, what, four snaps last year, and that was on special teams in one game, he is continuing, you know, the impressive work we saw from him this summer. He's been, I don't want to overstate it because he's got a long way to go, with, not only in his career, but just this season. But, man, you talk about a left tackle, the most important position on the offensive line. And this kid has absolutely answered every question, every test. He's passing them right now. So hopefully that continues tomorrow night because they're going to need him. No doubt about it.
I think it's kind of hilariously funny that we're playing the Lions for control of the North. Who would have thunk
it? Yeah, that does feel weird, right? That does
feel
odd to say.
Well, I think it's mainly due to the casuals, which when I talk about casuals, I'm not talking about me. I know a lot of people consider me
talking about yourself there.
Nope. I know a lot of people consider me a casual because when I mean a lot of people, I mean certain commenters on YouTube. But when I talk about casuals, I'm talking about Vikings and Bears fans, you know. Those are the casuals that I talk about. I never talk about Packer fans as casuals. It's just Vikings and Bears fans. And, you know, they're so annoyingly loud and persistent in the offseason that you think the Bears and the Vikings are going to be, like, the most incredible team. So, you know, hats off to Lions fans for you know, being humble.
Well, yeah, it is kind of fascinating, too, because, like, I saw yesterday on Twitter some Bears analyst, if that's a thing, was like, really? Well, you know, the PFF grades for Justin Fields and Jordan Love. Justin Fields graded out better than Jordan Love. And I'm like, spent all summer as a fan base talking all this junk, all this nonsense. You were totally humbled in week one, or so we thought. And now you're just continuing 3 weeks later when it pretty clear your team is still the shittiest team in the NFL, continuing to talk junk about the Packers. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, that's just hilarious to me. Like, it's just, you have, as Aaron said when I was on their pod over there at Game On Wisconsin, I wish one day, someday in my life, to have, she had said, you know, the confidence of a Bears fan in the offseason. But I'm beginning to think, I just want the confidence of a Bears fan in life. because they seemingly have no ability to dial it back and be self-reflective and think, yeah, no. You know what? Packers fans maybe have a point.
Yeah, it's extremes. Yeah. Well, look at Big Cat. Yeah. That quote I put where Big Cat's
Dan.
The Bears are over. They're the worst. Okay, you will never hear out of my mouth, and I can't even say it, okay? I'm not ever going to say you will never hear the worst franchise in history unless I'm talking about the Bears. I will never talk about another team about this podcast is about, so I'm not even going there, right? Because I don't want anybody to pull it or anything else. But, you would never hear me going to that extreme, no matter how upset I was at the Green Bay Packers in 1265. You'll never hear that. But it's just funny. It's correct. They're either going to be great or they're the worst franchise in history.
Or the worst thing in the world. Yeah.
Honestly, they are the second winningest franchise in history, but I'm going to say it's because they've survived this long. Really.
It's just surviving.
And honestly,
they don't really deserve.
Like, the St. Louis Rams deserve to be in St. Louis. You know what I mean? And then the NFL moved them. The Chicago Bears don't deserve to be in Chicago. They only deserve to be there. Like, not based on their play, certainly. Not in the last 40 or 50 years. How long has it been since 1985? Yeah. How long is that?
A while. Well,
that's only that's a long
40
time.
Years? That's a long ass time, yeah.
40 years of suckage. What does that feel like? Like, even Packer fans,
the
70s
and
80s weren't that
Bowl,
long. But at least the 70s and 80s, they seemed forever, but they weren't that long.
Right.
It was only 24 years, comparatively.
Remember that feeling? I was just talking to, who was I talking to about this? I was talking to someone about how you and I met, and that first year in 96, when the Packers obviously won the Super Bowl. But I remember that feeling of, I never thought I'd see this day. And that's got to be what Bears fans feel like now.
That's
like,
what
it's got to be
like.
I'm never, ever going to see, the team will fold before I see them win a championship. Like, that's what it felt like growing up with the Packers. And now, we've enjoyed sustained success. We have a very successful franchise. Man, I don't know, man. If I'm a Bears fan at this point in this life, I'm what other options
point,
for entertainment are available to me?
At this point, to be honest with you, I feel like the Bears should move to Omaha. I feel like Omaha deserves a team. You know what I mean? I just feel
sell the team, move it to Omaha, and start over.
Sell the team, move it to Omaha, or move it to Hawaii. Or you know what? Maybe the Bears, here's a really good idea. Maybe the Bears should be the first international franchise. That would be cool.
Move them to London, the London Bears.
Move them to London. You know they're going to do better in London than they will in Chicago. Chicago just doesn't care. It's like they just don't care.
Probably.
I don't know. They should get rid of I don't know. I don't know. I wish I knew what was wrong with the Chicago Bears. I'm just happy that something is wrong with them, you know, at the end of the day.
Continuing on with the Packers offense, the receivers in this game, and I can extend receivers to tight ends as well with Luke Musgrave's usage. They show their youth at times and they show their promise. It's interesting, all the narratives around Jordan Love and the offense, what have you, but it's like, man, the receivers, they spend a lot of time either running routes into the same vicinity or dropping contested catches where you got to fight for your right to party, you know? Like, if the ball's on you, and yeah, there's a dude there. I understand he's arriving in a bad mood and trying to dislodge it, but it is literally your job to make sure that is, a catch, not knocked out, not broken up. Like, this is your gig. And there were way too many of those, where the Saints just were playing the bully. And I do think as the game went on, especially in the fourth quarter, obviously, the Packers receivers' mentality changed in that regard. You saw a number of contested throws and or kind of balls that were like, that's mine, right? And this is the thing. We've talked about it here. We've talked about it all summer. Like, it's going to be up and down, and this is how we're going to watch this team develop and continue to grow. And I think we saw basically a microcosm of that in this game against the Saints where, guys were getting beat up a little bit on the line in the routes. Hell, that was the other thing. The Saints made liberal use of the fact that, this crew's not going to call contact past the 5-yard mark. We're going to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
And I wish the Packers would do the same, but the Saints absolutely
did.
Now,
I know
it came back
to
bite them
in
the fourth quarter, but
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the crazy thing that I feel like we're taking for granted right now when it comes to receivers. Romeo Doubs is already a better receiver than Alan Lazard ever was. He's not a better blocker, but he's a better receiver than Alan Lazard ever was. That's crazy to me. At Romeo Doubs just becoming the number one out of default and being the number one guy is incredible. The second thing is Wicks and Jordan Love. I said this in the watch party. There is clearly a connection between Wicks and Love that they have created. There is a bond there, and you can feel that he is the dump off, whatever you want to say. He is going to not favor Wicks, but you kind of feel like there's plays that are designed for Wicks. And I watched, believe it or not, Nagler, I know this made me a little bit smarter. I watched Quarterback School 2 days ago.
Oh, and, so good.
It's really good.
J.T. O'Sullivan's shit is so good. I love it.
It's just great to like watch every play. I feel like, you know what would be fun? I feel like it would be fun. You know how we have Packers Playbook? Shout out John Kuhn and Dusty Emily.
Right, and Dusty, yeah.
I feel like it would be fun, and this would be like totally nerdy, and I have no time for this, and neither do you. But like, I think it would be so much fun to like have a live show, live, right, where we literally go through every offensive play of the Green Bay Packers from the game with the game tape, and we just kind of talk it through, and it just feels like, you know, kind of Dungeons and Dragons fun, you know, where it's like,
so
hey,
funny you say that. I literally thought about doing that during the pandemic, like having the camera set up like behind my sofa with the all 22 on my television, and then like MSTK3 it, like, so it's like over the shoulder shot and just talking through every play, because we were all sitting inside like doing nothing anyway. But I ended up doing other stuff. But that is,
but
I love
feel
that
like
idea.
Back to the, no one will watch it. But back to the idea that I have.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. Like, Aaron Rodgers did us a favor by getting Alan Lazard. Because I feel like if we had Alan Lazard right now, we really wouldn't have an understanding of the type of wide receivers that we have on our team. And I don't know that, I think we would have been a little bit legacy, you know, had a little bit of legacy vibe to have Lazard be more involved in the offense. And I just don't think he has the upside of Doubs. Like, it's just clear, like in three games, Doubs and Watson, if Watson comes back, watch the F out.
We're cooking.
Like, come on.
We're cooking with gas.
Like,
cooking
and with Wicks in the mix and Musgrave, like, that's where you kind
of go.
Wicks
in the mix. That's the t-shirt, Brent. Brent, I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Wicks in the mix. Let's go.
Like, that's what's crazy. Like, having a legit number one and number two, and then Wicks and Musgrave and Aaron Jones just sitting there in the mix. And, like, you know,
you haven't talked about Jaden Reed, who's probably the biggest playmaker, like, ready to burst out at any moment.
And that's what's,
like,
that's what's crazy. Jaden Reed, that the fingertip touch,
the
fingertip catch by him and Doubs last game, they were incredible. Yeah. And to your point about, like, you know, PFF, I know I talk a bunch of crap about PFF. PFF is, you know, here's the thing. I saw that PFF had that the wide receivers only drop like 3 to 4 drops in three games. Okay, PFF, go to hell. You're idiots. I don't know what you're talking about. You're stupid. I don't know where your criteria is coming from. You know, the only thing worse than PFF is financial dark pools. Like, let's be real, right? You know what I mean? Because it's basically the same thing. It's just a place for bullshit to live. It's a place for bacteria to live on things that we don't know what the criteria is, because it's not objective.
All right.
Okay.
Corey Banky's opinions on PFF do not reflect the entirety of Cheesehead TV's opinions on PFF. That's all.
Continue. Okay, and I'm just talking about the way they analyze, like, who drops. And like, because basically what you're saying is if those aren't drops, then they get blamed to Jordan Love, and now you can – it's just being – no person who watches football would ever say that Justin Fields played better in any game this season than Jordan Love. No person on the face of the earth who actually likes football.
Probably true.
If Jerry Kramer was watching, okay, I would ask Jerry Kramer, who do you think has done better in each game, Jordan Love or Justin Fields? I guarantee you he's going to say Jordan Love, and not just because he's a Packer legend and he's a Hall
of Famer. I was going to say is a Packers legend, so it feels like he might have a bias there. But I will say, what I pointed out on Twitter the other day when I was discussing with somebody, you know, the funny thing about that is that it just, the whole thing about Justin Fields having a higher PFF grade it just exposes PFF because it's like, oh, did he complete a bunch of passes in front of a defense that was up like 40-0? And so they were just keeping everything in front of them. It's so results based. It's like, that's what makes it completely irrelevant. Like, I love PFF. I think they do great work in certain areas, but the grades are trumpeted as this like be all end all. And they absolutely mean less than the pixels they're printed with. That's my thing with PFF. Like, they do tons of great work. The grades are their forward facing like thing that everyone points to. And that's the thing that means the least out of all the work they do. That it just blows my mind. It just blows my mind.
I mean, the other thing that I want to say, I know you don't have it on the list, is like, oh my God, that miss by A.J. Dillon on that block going inside and not seeing the outside rusher. That just hurt my feelings. I did not see that in game, and then I watched it on QB School, and I was like,
yeah, I saw it when we were on watch party on the replay. Fox showed like the above, kind of behind the quarterback look, and AJ goes in, and I think AJ falls down in that play. And
he gets pancaked. He gets run over by his own guy. He basically runs behind his own guy, and then he gets run over.
Right.
Not run over, but he kind of gets stepped on. But here's the thing, and I only bring this up because it's like, and not to crap on AJ, I love AJ, but it's just like we literally talked about how the reason Wilson is not in, and Wilson with that throw, Wilson, like, come on, dude, what are you doing? What is going on? That was funny how it's like how you train running backs to step their foot and then turn. And like it is really funny how like the simple fundamentals, right, are the things that get you in the mix. And like some of the things of like Romeo Doubs looking the ball in, like you definitely see a separation between Doubs right now and the rest of the receivers as far as technique. That's the other thing. Like he shouldn't be that much further ahead if you think about like where he is in his progression and where he is in his career. And that's why I bring Dobbs up, is like he is the number one. No one is going to argue that Romeo Doubs is not the number one. It's not because his touchdowns. It's the way he catches the ball. It's the way he runs his routes and the way he just – he's so mature for where he is, I feel like.
Oh, but dude, I agree as far as like his development so far. Like he is way ahead. And he is – yeah, I think he exhibits – I always, this is my quibble with the whole nomenclature of the number one wide receiver. Like, they don't talk like that in the building. You know, it's like, yes, we have certain plays for certain guys, and we are certainly looking at certain situations and matchups. It's a matchup-driven league, right? And he's the guy who, more often than not every time, but more often than not, who is like, okay, our number one in the progression is Romeo. You know, but a lot of that probably changes, or some of it at least changes, when Christian Watson's back on the field.
Oh,
and I don't even think Christian, and I don't even think Christian Watson is a bona fide classic number one. Like you're gonna utilize him in certain ways as a number one. They just have a lot of really exciting pieces that they can interchange. And Matt talks about this all the time. They're concept driven, and it's not a question of like we have our whole offense designed around a number one. It's concepts and how do you fit inside them. And we're going to run this way 1 week. So then as a defensive coordinator, you're sitting there going, okay, they like to do this. And then the next week you run the same concept, but with completely different personnel, two different guys in a, you know, basically window dressing situation outside of like, say the week before you ran it to the left near hash with a wide receiver and a tight end. The next week you run it with a running back and a different wide receiver to the far side. Like you're mixing and matching so that coordinators and defenses can't key in on who is the number one. You know what I mean? And I don't doubt for a moment that Romeo has the ability to become maybe not like a bona fide classic number one wide receiver in the sense of like fantasy football or whatever, but man, he's got all the upside in the world and he's certainly got the talent. Like of that, there is little doubt, especially after these kind of last 3 weeks. No.
Well, and the other crazy thing that I kind of feel like, and I know we're three games in, but, and I know one of the big things that we were looking for on the offensive scheme was, hey, we are finally seeing Matt's offense, right? We are actually seeing.
Don't say that to Matt.
But we are, though. It's true, because he's not taking input from – okay, no. Yes, okay.
I agree.
He is taking input from Jordan. He's taking input from everybody, right? If you're a good leader,
right,
you
coaches,
take feedback from everybody, right?
But the there best were two idea in the room of, is the best idea yep. in the room. Yes.
There were 100% two coaches in the room on this offense when Mac got here until before these three games, until this season. There were two coaches.
Right.
There were two masters for the offense that had to be satisfied. And right now, this is Matt's offense. And what's incredible to me, and you see this in quarterback school, you see this in any kind of content you follow, like you see like a, you know, Orlovsky or anybody else. It's like
sure,
you see
right.
the genius of Matt LaFleur, and you got to imagine that like that's only going to increase as these guys get more connected. I feel like
yes.
he might be the smartest offensive coach we have since Mike Holmgren, like realistically.
I will say that's interesting you bring that up. It's interesting you bring that up because I think he's a better schemer slash X's and O's guy than McCarthy was. I think McCarthy had a better feel for the game as a play caller. And it's hard to quantify because the quarterback is involved and Aaron did so much of the line of scrimmage for both those coaches, obviously.
Yep.
I think Matt does a much better job as far as like Monday through Saturday, right? Like coming up with the plan, the X's and O's of it. But man, Mike McCarthy had a real good feel for the game. In a way that with Matt, I feel has been somewhat hit and miss. Although I will say, to your point, Matt doesn't want to talk about it or hear about it. Like this is the first time we've really got to see him call a game. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
and he
was asked after
you.
The game against the Bears, where he literally said,
yep.
I can't remember who asked him, but it was like, how many plays did the quarterback change in this game? And he was like, other than the one time where I didn't get the play in on time, none. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it sure feels
well,
like
he has the can, right? He
really
has the
seen
can.
Him call the game. Yeah, but that's part
he has
of
can
the system.
For Jordan,
that's part
right?
of his
that's
play
part
calling.
Of the system.
Yeah,
yep,
of course.
Yep, yep.
Of course. Right.
But the other thing I will say is like there is no way, and I agree with what you just said, but there is no way on God's green earth that Mike McCarthy goes for two the way Matt went for two. No way.
Sorry. Oh yeah, no. Well, the whole equations of all of
no
the,
way on God's green earth
not
that he
equations,
ever does
but,
anything like that.
It yeah, makes I mean, no, well, hell,
most football minds, like old football legacy minds, are like
old
they still don't
minds,
understand
yeah.
why Mike. They still don't right. understand why Matt went for two there. They don't get it, right?
And it's so funny. Everyone talks about like the Cardinals playoff game, like after the Janus Hail Mary should have gone for two, and I agree, but I do buy Mike McCarthy's. Quote unquote excuse there where it's like everyone's hurt. Like, I got no more wide receivers. Like, okay, find a play, right? Well, you've got 40
but you
seconds.
Also have no
you
defense.
Find a play.
Mike, you have no defense.
Yeah, I know. But it's like, so, okay, so you call the play. What's the play that features three tight ends that's going to get you into the end zone for the 2-point conversion?
That was,
you know what I mean?
That was so literally the most demoralizing. That was the most. Oh. You know what, Corey? You got to plug in the computer in order for it to charge.
You are the head of a multi-million-dollar company, technology company, by the way, and you have forgotten to plug in your computer.
I don't understand why it's not.
This is why Cheesehead TV had to go independent. I couldn't work like this anymore.
Charging. Is there like dust? Sorry, my
so
MacBook
good.
Was like,
so
you need to plug in a source, and I'm like, what's happening right now?
I'm sorry, a source
I don't
of what?
Get it.
Power? Oh, okay.
Yeah, there is no way Dude. Mike McCarthy goes for two. I'm sorry. There's just no way. Also,
yeah, no,
that was the
right.
most demoralizing
you're
game.
Right.
I like to tell people, I'm like, I'm so proud of the fact that every time I see Aaron Rodgers throw that first Hail Mary in the Arizona game, you can see me and Rachel in the background. It's really awesome.
Yes, you can.
And then I realize, and then I quickly remember that we lost that game. So thanks
yeah,
Packers. Appreciate you.
Hey,
Packers.
Sucks.
Thank you.
Hey.
Appreciate it.
They've given you just as much love as they've given you pain. You know this.
Have they, though?
Come on
have
now.
They?
Come on now.
Have they? I was
don't
talking
be
to somebody. Somebody.
Don't go entitled town on me, Banky.
Somebody was like, I'm not entitled town. I'm just saying, like, I feel like
okay.
I've been at more games that they've lost and have broken my heart.
Oh, well, yeah,
okay.
You've been to the big playoff losses. So, yes, of course, the kind of feeling, the overarching feeling in your life is that, oh, I've been there for all these fucking horrible losses. I get it, but you're forgetting, and I would say maybe taking for granted, all of the amazing fucking moments and wins that you've also gotten to witness.
Yeah,
that's all.
The NC ThinkPen dropping the ball.
You were
the
there.
2010. I was all the 2010.
You were there for every playoff game in 2010.
That's a lifetime
of memories right there.
But then I was at Seattle. I was at Arizona. I was at 2007 NFC Championship game. I was at San Francisco, Tampa Bay. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I know, dog. I know. I feel it. I feel it. We got to get through all this because we got ways to go. It's already half past the hour. We maybe did.
Sorry.
All I will say, we'll go through because everyone on earth has talked a lot about Jordan Love this week. So I'll just say Jordan Love won't back down, man. Jordan Love has not met a deep ball or a long throw that he was like, yeah, probably not. He has by far and away the deepest depth of target so far in the NFL through 3 weeks. And he is just a gunslinger at this point.
He really is.
In awe. Of all these young quarterbacks, how many young quarterbacks have we seen come into the league and watch them check down, throw the slant, throw the easy kind of out, whatever. And this is, by the way, 3 weeks in, this is the NFL, baby. This is the NFL's kind of moment where every defense, every single game is just keep it all in front of you, two high safeties, no deep stuff. Jordan Love is you're fucking defense. I'm going deep. I love this kid. I love his
attitude.
Well,
that's the thing.
I love the fact that he's unafraid.
Yeah, he's somewhere between Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, which is actually the greatest
place
to be.
Right? I've tried not to lean into that, but man, it's hard. After
he's definitely not afraid to throw it like Aaron Rodgers was. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers is afraid, but Aaron Rodgers did not like to throw passes that didn't have high probabilities.
Exactly. And they won a boatload of fucking games because Aaron was so precious with the ball.
100%.
He was so precious. The ball is life, you know.
And but we lost games because he was precious with the ball, by the way. We lost games because
Way more wins than losses in that regard. And that's just math. I mean, losing the football is the number one way to lose.
I'm not good at math. I'm really
so
bad.
On the defensive side, Rashawn Gary is getting expensive, people. I mean, I understand the trepidation.
Why have they not signed him? I don't understand. What's the problem?
Well, he's coming off an ACL injury.
They already did that with David Bakhtiari, so who cares?
No. Do not rewrite history. They signed Bakhtiari to an extension when he was still an all-pro, killing it in the world of our lives. And then he got hurt.
This is how I feel about you right now.
I got you. Well, thank God I am shit because I am a Packers fan. God damn it. Killing me, Banky. Don't change the narrative on our boy, Dave.
That was conflating. I'm sorry.
Correct.
I 100% was conflating. But
Rashawn Gary is getting expensive. I mean, I'm with you, though. I tweeted it out the week before week one, the game in Chicago. I'm like, today would be a great day, Packers, to announce the extension of Rashawn Gary. I understand, you want to see if he's healthy. You want to see if he works. He's playing 20 snaps.
Yeah, I was about to say. Didn't he do 26 snaps or 24 snaps? Yeah.
Completely changing the entirety of the game in those snaps. Pay this man. Please pay this man. And did you see his post-game, got the game ball and he's crying and he's like, I worked so hard to get back with you guys. I love Rashawn. I love Rashawn.
Yeah.
Pay this man.
This is the most exciting defensive line the Packers have ever put on the field since 1996, in my opinion. It's just so exciting.
They got waves. The thing was, too, is Enik Bahri was so close a couple of times. You talk about a
Clark.
Game of inches. It's Gary gets all the love for the three sacks, as he should. No question about it. But then you're you look at Enik Bahri, and nobody's talking about his game. And he did give up the edge on the run a couple times. But rushing the passer. It's like he was this close, like at least twice, probably three times. It's like game of inches, man. It's tough.
Well, and I love how when teams forget to double Kenny, and Kenny just swim moves his way into the quarterback.
Oh, God. Oh,
it's ridiculous.
We're going to talk about him a
little bit. Teams are like, oh, we forgot to double him. Oh, crap. Damn it.
We'll jump to that. Kenny Clark, he's showing up on film. Here's the thing. I'm sure everyone remembers. I don't know. It's like the first drive where Kenny has the
It's the first drive,
really
second play of the game, yep.
Pressure. Yeah, really quick pressure on Carr, brings him down, etc. But it's like I do every once in a while get these stragglers, these guys, always guys, on Twitter who are like, where's Kenny Clark? Where's Kenny? He doesn't show up. It's like, all right, calm down. Go back, and if you watch the film, Kenny Clark is showing up. Like, he may not always show up on the stat sheet, even though he does show up on the stat sheet, but Kenny is doing so much great work that isn't quantifiable, that doesn't get tallied in like,
oh, there's
the
no PFF stat for that? Interesting.
Apparently not. Apparently not. But Kenny is absolutely killing it, man. And I get that, you know, when the Packers get run over or whatever, it's always, where's Kenny? Where's the defensive line? Blah, 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 blah. It's like, all right, Kenny can't do A, everything alone, but B, there's more to the game than just standing in there and absorbing a double team at defensive tackle, right? Kenny has been, he's been very good this year, and this Saints game, I thought, was probably his best game this season, and it's probably a bit unheralded because most of the work and or effort that he's exhibiting isn't, again, it's not something that you're going to put on a Twitter highlight or a Sports Center highlight or whatever, you know. I'm so happy Kenny Clark's a Packer. That's all. That's all that is.
Well,
let's preview
really,
this game tomorrow night.
That's where our defense is going to shine this year. No. I'm just, you know, the defensive line and then Quay as the leader to me is the heart of this defense. That's the heart of this defense. It's Quay and the defensive line, and we are going to because we're not going to get press coverage. We're not going to get aggressive coverage, even though we have the type of guys that can do it. We're probably going to get, you know, not the greatest safety coverage in the world. So if this defense is going to be good this year, it's going to be the defensive line and Quay Walker single-handedly, like, taking over games like they did in the two we won this year so far, for sure.
Yep, agreed. Yeah, that's a very good point, actually. Like, you're not going to get, you know, with this scheme, you're not going to get guys disrupting receivers at the line of scrimmage. It just ain't going to happen. So that front.
I mean, Jair's going to get his, right? Like everybody, some of the stars are going to get theirs, right? But the secondary could mature, certainly. But, you know, looking at this line, like, that's where we're going to get our pressure. That's where we're going to get our aggressiveness is the defensive line in Quay.
Yeah, I know. I've seen a lot of people in the chat talking about Devontae Wyatt. I thought he actually played pretty well against the Saints. Again, a lot of it is people see the sacks, right? Or, you know, especially Rashawn Gary, and they go, oh, he had a great game. Devontae Wyatt played okay. I've better than okay. I thought he played a good game, a solid game. But you're not seeing the flash that you saw in week one. Certainly you'd like to see a little bit more of that. And every game is different. Every week is different. Every scheme is different. What you're being asked week to week schematically is different. I think Devontae Wyatt's upside is still insane, and I think we'll see more and more of him as the year goes on when teams start to kind of slide to Rashawn or slide to, you know, whatever pressure looks the Packers put out there, and that should give Devontae Wyatt a few more opportunities. That's the hope, anyway. Looking at this game tomorrow night, real quick, we'll go through these 3 points. Brian Branch has been everywhere for the Lions. And I love all the revisionist history already. 3 games into his career where I was like, oh, the Packers traded with the Lions. And they gave him to the Lions. And, you know, they took Lucas Van Ness instead, and he hasn't done anything. You mean other than run down Justin Fields in week one. But Van Ness has had a nice start to his career. It's the long play. I remember everyone burying Rashawn Gary when he was a rookie. Oh, and now look at him. Like, there's so much kind of NFL life to go, right? Branch looks good. He looks active. Everyone wants to point to the interception, which is off a tip in week one. It's like, yeah, and he also gave up the touchdown that lost them the game against the Seahawks. So it's not like he's some, like, revelation at safety. But he has been everywhere. And he's someone I think the Packers are going to have to account for in this game because he is active and he really has been kind of sideline to sideline. You don't really know where he might be down to down. Now, Corey, I know you know, the Packers haven't been able to run the ball a lick this year, regardless of who the running back has been. Even back to week one when Aaron Jones was out there, couldn't really get the running game going. The Lions defense has allowed the fifth fewest total rushing yards. 216 yards through three games. And by the way, they're coming off a game against Atlanta where the Falcons the week prior had run all over the Green Bay Packers. So,
well, everybody can run all over the Green Bay Packers. Like, come on.
The Saints did not. I'm not saying.
I mean,
but if you're looking for a week for the Packers to get
really
on track
though,
in the running game,
I don't think they really tried.
This is not going to happen. And then finally, Detroit is favored by 1.5 on FanDuel Sportbook and other sportbooks out there.
Get out of here
a point and a half underdogs at Lambeau Field, Corey Banky. How do you feel about that?
FanDuel is dead to me. PFF and FanDuel are dead to me now.
This is just Vegas, dude. Like, that's everybody. It's just I just picked.
No, FanDuel no. DraftKings, all of them, they're dead everybody. To me. I don't care. Math is dead to me. I don't want no math in Lambeau Field. Does Lambeau Field get 5 points? Because they should, unless it's a playoff game.
Absolutely. Wow.
You see what I did there? See what I did there?
Prior to Mike Vick coming to town, they should have got like 10 points in the playoffs. But then Mike Vick happened and it all fell apart.
I mean, here's the thing. You got to imagine. So one of the things about the running game I just want to say is that, like, I think part of the problem is that our offensive line has not been solidified, one. Two, what the hell is going on with A.J. Dillon? Aaron Jones is out. I don't think they're really, you know, Matt doesn't really. I think that where you're going to see improvement from the running game, to be honest with you, is from a solidified offensive line, which we're probably not going to get this year, and then Emmanuel Wilson kind of taking it to the next level, right? And to me, that's where the upside is. That's where we're going to see, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if,
it's possible.
You know,
it's possible, yeah.
Not in this game, maybe, but I do feel like near the end of the season, we're going to see Wilson kind of... I feel like you're going to see Wilson have 100 yards before probably any other running back except Aaron Jones with combined yards, right?
Yeah. I feel that. Finally, Banky, before we get to Blogosphere, it's time for my favorite segment of the week. It's the Deion Sanders quote of the week.
Yay.
Coming off a pretty rough game against Oregon there, buddy. I came out of the womb and I was booed. That's the quote.
That's genius. I mean,
he's talking about the haters.
I'm gonna quit.
Hell,
you know what? I'm gonna quit everything I do, and I'm just gonna work for Deion, bro. Seriously, I'm just gonna be like Deion. Whatever you got, I'm just gonna work for you, bro. I'm just gonna quit everything. I just like the guy. The guy's great.
Boom, and I was booed. That's so good.
I love it. I just love like the thing about Deion that I just love is like it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter.
No,
he's still entertaining as fuck. He's not full of shit. He's not PFF. He's not full of shit.
Nope.
He takes his licks.
Nope.
He keeps on ticking. He's a relentless human being, and he operates at a very high level.
That's it. I love it.
If we could all do that in life, life and the earth would be better, by the way.
All right, let's get
fuck
to
the
it.
Haters.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
This week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey, you know, we know whole bunches and lots and tons of people who, you know, cover not only the Packers, but the NFL in general. And in this world of sports media, there are some that are and there are some that are dope, right? I want to highlight one of them that is dope. And this is a gentleman who has been on a couple of different parts of Cheesehead TV programs, what have you. And I was lucky enough to have lunch with him, or actually, no, dinner with him at the Combine a couple of years ago. And he is the master of the X's and O's. master of the tape breakdown. Ben Fennell is at Lambeau this week for the game, working like a dog. Look at him. 15 years working in TV, football, finally here to work a game at Lambeau. Culminating moment. I was raised a Packers fan. NFL Films, Eagles, ESPN, CBS, Thursday Night Football, all this other stuff. This is the one. And I love that he highlights this picture today as someone's bucket list. That's something they added this offseason. Saw it when I was there this summer. It is a bucket list thing. And that's the thing I really try to emphasize with everybody that I meet when I'm in Green Bay, when I'm there in training camp. It's like, man, don't take this for granted.
Never.
You know,
take it
is so special to be at Lambeau, to be in the vicinity, just to feel the vibe. And I know Ben does. And I love that he's finally, his professional kind of travels have finally led him to Lambeau. That's just dope. I absolutely.
Well, and I think that's great for Ben. And I want to give a shout out to another Amazon producer, Scott Gillies, who I've known for a while. He doesn't have a Twitter account. He used to work at Red Bull, and he's working tonight. He's working all week at Lambeau. It's just everybody, you can't take it for granted. We had a couple from London at our house this weekend, and I love experiencing people's first time in Green Bay and Lambeau Field.
Oh, yes. Yes.
It's one of these like vicarious kind of things that is just incredible. And it reminds you how special it is. And I'll be honest with you. Everybody asks me, they're like, what's it like to live across the street from Lambeau Field? And there's never a moment. Never. I mean, I've lived here 2.5 years. I've had this house for, 8 years, 7 years. But now living here, it never gets old. It's never like, oh yeah, let's Lambeau. Yeah, that's the thing. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's one of those few things in my life that I've been able to never take for granted. And I there's another thing I like to say to the LiveX team. A lot of times we talk about where, we're producing very big events, and a lot of times it can become easy. I always go, for every client that we have, this is the most important event of their year.
Of their whole year. Right. Yep.
And for us, it's Tuesday.
Gig. Yep.
Right. It's Tuesday night. Right.
Yep.
And so it's important to, remember, how special and how rarefied, right? It's rare for the fact that Ben Fennell, this is the first game he's working at Lambeau, is incredible to me.
It's crazy, right? It's crazy. He's been in the game forever, 15 years.
Yep.
And speaking of Lambeau and the vibe and capturing the vibe, shout out to Wyatt and company. They're making some videos for us here at Cheesehead TV. You can catch all of his stuff for us on our shorts here at the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel, including this one that popped today. Man, Sue, I think it's in lot one. She's a legend, man. This is
amazing. My goodness. I've met her before.
Let's take a look.
I remember when you sent the clip.
Let's take a look at Sue and Wyatt.
You just missed Sean Jones was here.
Who the hell is Sean Jones?
You don't know who Sean Jones is? Super Bowl 31. Come on, number 96. Woo! Woo!
Is that a Packer player?
Hell yeah. You're a young pup. You're a young pup.
I have a lot to learn, Sue.
You do. Come to me, and I will help you.
I absolutely adore Sue. I got to meet her. I've never met her. I need to.
I met her one time. It's been a while. But, yeah, I knew as soon as you sent that thing, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. She's great.
It's so good. So Wyatt's out there with the crew for us each and every home game. If you see him, stop him. Talk to him. Tell him hi. Tell him
a lot of people.
Packers
he was
memory,
telling me
about your game.
He was telling me the biggest thing is they're like, is Nags here? Is Nags here? Like everybody's asking him about that.
Yeah.
And then we were laughing about that. And yeah, we're gonna shoot some content tomorrow night. We're gonna shoot some Packers fence
love
content.
It.
We're gonna shoot some cocktail content.
Wait.
We're gonna shoot a Curly Lambeau piece of content. What?
Thank you. I got something for you. Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Why did you wait till now?
Because I told myself only one carry the G per show. And I didn't want to drink.
Who are you? I don't even know who you are anymore.
I didn't want to drop it. Well, I'm rationing.
Like
Banky.
Next,
it's like I'm like the Hobbit.
I'm going to do
the
watch
Mordor
party, and you're actually going to pay attention to me in the fourth quarter. I just don't know who you are anymore. I have no idea who you are anymore.
Oh, God.
You're literally an alien.
This year's
to
batch
me.
Is so good. Oh, my God. It's so good.
Don't finally, make people jealous. It's not very nice.
Finally, we got to. I can't highlight something that happened in the blogosphere. I can't talk about the Packer blogosphere without mentioning the fact that Wayne Larrivee, the voice of the Green Bay Packers,
I saw him last night. I didn't
and
talk
I mean,
about this, though.
totally and without question, vaporized me, like unalived me on the radio on Tuesday. Let's take a listen.
You know, A.J. Dillon's taking a lot of heat, but you know what? There's not a lot for him to run through, right?
Correct.
We're not seeing gaping holes you could drive a 16-wheeler to the Super Bowl. Paraphrase
a great call. I was literally just listening to some Jim and Max the other night because, Wayne, that's the kind of nerd I am. But, man, that's like, you know, how some people put on, like, relaxation technique, like rainforest or thunderstorms. Like, I'm listening to Jim and Max call some 96, 97 Packers.
No that's wonder you're living alone.
That's, yeah, exactly. 100%. 100% correct. And I got no shame. No shame about it, buddy. I love it.
I'm with you.
And there is your dagger.
I love how I love how Billy gives you more shit than I do. Jesus. He's like, he's loving that.
Billy's
he's
awesome.
Loving that.
I love Billy. I love it. Unalived. Yeah, this is my ghost coming to you on
Transplant. Wayne was asking the questions of Jerry Kramer last night. It was really great because they have a really good conglomerate.
Oh, you haven't even talked about that. How was the event?
Yeah, it was great. You know, it's always – I go to all the Hall of Fame events when I can. Shout out Scout from the Packers who invited me to that event. I got to take my grandfather and my Grandpa Bruner. He actually – my Grandpa Bruner and my great-grandpa Sauer
love your grandpa.
Went
to
the Yankees. So Yankee Stadium, 1962, the NFL World Championship game. The Packers beat the Giants at Yankee Stadium, and my grandfather and my great-grandfather and their wives went to the game, and so it was great. We got to be, like, we were, like, first in line for the autographs, and I'm not an autograph guy. I got plenty of Kramer autographs. I just wanted a picture with him and my grandpa, but it was great because he got to say to Jerry, I literally looked at Jerry, and I was like, the two of you were in New York in 1962 at Yankee Stadium. And Jerry Kramer is like, he is an incredible human being. Dave Robinson, we just saw him a couple months ago in the same kind of event. And Jerry is just like, he's just so great. Like, I feel like no matter what, Lambeau Field should always, forever, and all time, even if Johnsonville doesn't become the sponsor anymore, that I was there ad, that commercial that Jerry Kramer does,
yes,
it is the freaking best. Besides I Feel the Power
I Feel the Power is always number one. Always number one.
I Feel the Power is number one, but like number that one. Jerry Kramer ad they play gives me goosebumps every time when he's like, you can say you were there, and you're just like, ah! You just want to like run through a freaking wall.
It's
and, like,
so funny too because that ad does not exist. Like that's one of those, like, if you're in Wisconsin and or specifically Green Bay or in
Lambeau,
like, you probably know that ad.
You have to be
you
in
know
Lambeau,
that ad, right? But like, if you live anywhere in the country or the world, you don't know that ad at all.
It's incredible.
Like, probably at all.
It's just incredible. It's whoever designed it, and just the fact that, you know, he's in a wheelchair now. But he still has all his faculties. He still has all his memories. He still has, like, his gregariousness. He still thinks,
you know,
talking about Lombardi.
We met him.
It's incredible.
We met him on the red carpet at Lombardi here in New York.
Yep.
And he was nervous to talk to us.
Yeah.
Like, he was so
great. We have the video, I think, still on YouTube. I think the video's on YouTube.
Yep, it's still there.
He's just an incredible human being. And, like, you know, we were, like, the third people, but, like, he thanked us for coming. Like, he's just so incredibly, like, gracious. And he just really doesn't have
he's
to be.
Real.
And he's just a real dude. Yeah, he's – and his kids are so great. And, like, I mean, you know –
I was just going to ask, were they there? Was his daughter
Alicia
there?
Alicia wasn't there, but they talked about Alicia. And she's been a really big advocate of Cheesehead TV. And, you know, when we were helping with the Hall of Fame stuff, and we were one very, very small part of that. But she's always been very gracious to us. And, you know, he's just – I don't know. There's very few human beings on the earth that are left from those teams. And honestly, the 19, you know, Vince Lombardi's football teams. And what's crazy is you don't even realize Jerry Kramer kicked field goals in the early
season. Field goals, right? Yes.
And then, yes. And then he became the greatest, one of the greatest guards in NFL history, right? And so that, like, right. blows your mind. So he's talking about, like, kicking field goals, right? He kicked a winning field goal, you know, in championships, mm-hmm. right? And so it's, like, crazy right. to think of him like that. And then just the way that, you know, he talks about the game and the way that he still remembers, like, you know, all the people that helped him and the way he remembers Lombardi and the way he talks to Lombardi. It's just, you know, it's kind of like World War II veterans, right? It's like they're dying. And, like, you know,
gather
we really
that,
need
gather
to have
that
this,
knowledge. Get that connection.
Yeah, we really yes. need to have that yeah. living history that's still with us. And so good on the Packers for having him there, and good on, you know, him for still showing up, and, like, his love for Green Bay. Like, he's a Boise kid. Like, he talks about right. how he came from a town of 200 people, then he went to a town of 3,000 people, so he felt like Green Bay being a town of 50,000 people was home, you know? And it just – you know, the yeah. way that everything was. And yeah, I can't, you cannot say enough about Jerry Kramer. You really can't. Like, once you meet the guy, you're just, like, in awe of, like, everything.
Enthralled.
Even if you,
you're
even if you don't know what yes. he did as, like, I think about, like, we have a guest room that is the Lombardi room, right? And it's not where Nagler stays. Right. He stays in the Nagler suite.
Nope. But I stay in the Nagler suite.
The Vince Lombardi room, we have this amazing picture of the Packers sweep. And I was able to get it on auction. And it's this really incredible illustration of the greatest play in NFL history, let's be real, right? Besides a quarterback sneak, the Packers sweep is the greatest
the
play
Packers
in
sweep,
NFL history.
No doubt.
And, you know, it's signed by all of them, and it's really great. It's really incredible. And he was instrumental in that. I actually wish they would have taken questions, because I love asking about the Packers sweep. It's, like, one of my favorite questions to ask any player who's involved with that play. And, you know, it's just like, what was that like? And, like, you know, he actually had this great story that no one had ever heard. Wayne even said no one had ever heard. So apparently in the Ice Bowl, right, this player had been, like, sacking Bart Starr. He was, like, a really big 6'8" mm-hmm. player. And Bart Starr looked right. at Jerry and he said, "What play do you want to call?" And apparently, this is, like, unbeknownst to anybody, Jerry Kramer called 6 consecutive plays in the Ice Bowl.
What?
Yeah, like, he called 6 consecutive plays in the Ice Bowl where that helped Bart Starr not get sacked by this player. And I can't remember the name. I didn't record the thing. They have it on Packers.com. But I think they're going to have right. the video. They had a videographer. But it was incredible. Like,
that's
Wayne Larrabee was
amazing.
Like, "I've never heard this before." And he was like, "Yeah,
I haven't
Bart
either.
Looked at me and he Bart looked at me and he was like, "What play do you want to call?" And Jerry was like, "Never called a play before." He's like, "Okay, let's call this play." And then, like, they called that play, and it was like a Forrest Gregg, like, basically stunt where Forrest Gregg takes out the guy. And then that worked. And then Bart came back to the line, and he's like, "Okay, what play do you want to call now?" And it was just like, what? And it was just, it was incredible. And, like, those are the kind of things you get from those alumni things that are just, like, they're priceless. Right. They're just priceless. They're just priceless.
All right, we got a bunch of super chats to get to. We got to talk to the fine folks here on our live chat at the Cheesehead TV. What do you call it? The YouTube channel, I believe, is what the kids call it. We got to talk to some of these fine folks. We're starting with M. I
said I'm on a green screen. I'm not on a green screen. Okay, I got you.
Oh, they're kidding.
Massimiliano Margagliati with the original super chat before we even started the stream. Sunday Love showed he got something you can't just teach. Couldn't be more excited about this team and proud of the way they run this organization. Go Pack, go. Thank you for the
Amen,
super
brother.
Chat. Appreciate ya. Phil Kohler, congrats, gentlemen, on all the Carry the G success. It's like the new spotted cow in the state of Wisconsin. Cheers. Thank you, Phil.
Wow.
Appreciate that.
Thanks, Phil.
And then Phil, what was it like meeting the legendary Jerry Kramer? Just talked about it. Hopefully that helped you. Oh, Mimsy. Carry the G in Hudson, Wisconsin, or we riot. We're trying, Mimsy. Mimsy, literally, okay, I've had 3 meetings this week. Okay, we had 268 requests for new locations of Carry the G, which is incredible. Thank you all for filling out the request form. Without screaming at people, because that's not really my vibe anymore. Like, I don't really rant at people because nobody likes that. I tried to explain the severity of what of and the urgency of how much we need to get it to Hudson, Wisconsin, with the point that I literally told my distributor, if we need to get it there, or I will drive it there like this weekend or next week. So we will try. We're gonna get it in Hudson. It's gonna happen. And Mimsy, thanks for the super chat. Did the Saints kicker save Joe Barry's job?
No.
Why not?
Like, look, why not? Joe, I don't understand that reasoning. Joe Barry's defense gave up 10 points on Sunday. Like, what?
True.
No. True. And if the kick goes through, he gave up 13 points. You don't fire someone because they gave up 13 points. No.
True. John Simatovich, 17 back to GB. Thoughts? Thanks for the super chat.
It's fun to think about it. It's never going to happen. Never going to happen. Devontae, right? Love him. All-time great. Packer great. Money, one. That's the A, number one. And then B, Devontae didn't want to be in Green Bay anymore. He was tired of living in Podunk Little, Wisconsin. Wanted to get closer to home. Wanted to be near his family. And I'm pretty sure the family situation, wanting to live someplace else with a young family growing up, blah, 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 whatever. Didn't want to be in Green Bay, Wisconsin. So it's not going to happen. I mean, I love the idea. Don't get me wrong. I'll lean into the fun of it, but it's not going to happen.
I'm not going to say mean things about Devontae, but karma's a bitch, bro.
Nor should you.
Karma's a bitch. Damn. I hate to tell you. Oh, let me go for my friend. Oh, my friend left because he sucks. Oh, crap. Now my friend's out of the game. Me. Now no one's throwing to me. Oh, woe is me. I'm the number one throwing receiver on a team that will never get to the Super Bowl and never was going to get to the Super Bowl. So clearly, you don't know. You don't care about the Super Bowl. You only care about money, bro. Clearly. Anyway, sorry. Did I say all that out loud? Okay, I was just in my head, but I thought I said it. Wendy Vance, thanks for super chat. Are all the penalties due to this being a young team or opening home game jitters? Thanks for super chat.
I'd love to know, Wendy. That's a really good question. And I will say, I do think there's a validity to what Corey was talking about earlier about, you know, a lot of mixing and matching of parts that dudes who probably haven't played together a whole lot, circumstance of, yeah, home opener, young, youth. I think it's a mix of everything, but man, that's not really an excuse. You're still a professional and you're still like, I get like the holding calls, stuff like that. It's going to happen. But the pre-snap shit, that they got to cut. They got to clean that up. I don't care how young you are. You've been playing football your whole life. You know you can't flinch before the fucking snap of the ball, you know? So, yeah, I do think it's part of it, but it's no excuse, no doubt.
Joe Mailman, thanks for Super Chat. If this is a transitional year, should the Pack keep developing Rashid Walker instead of going back to Bakhtiari when his knee allows him to play?
No, you paid him. And he's the best. And if he's available, you play him. Like, Rashid Walker is getting invaluable reps right now. And he has these last 2 weeks, and we'll get it probably tomorrow night, or we'll get it tomorrow night. No. But when Bakhtiari is right as rain, you put him out there. You paid the man. He's getting paid to do a job. When he's available to do it, he'll do it.
Matt, thanks for the super chat. Rashawn Gary is a pro's pro, rare to see at a young stage in a career. He is uniquely special.
I agree. Very much agreed, Matt. Love Rashawn. And it's so great to see a guy who was doubted by a whole lot of people, both fans and media and even some NFL folks who were like, I don't know about this pick by the Packers, and you know who you are. But look at him now, man. Coming off an injury, a very significant injury, he's almost playing better. It's insane. He's amazing. And the fact that he loves being in Green Bay, he loves playing for the Packers. Yeah, I'm all in. I love them. I love them, man.
Big B, super chat because I appreciate you both. Thanks, Big B. Why are you giving a super chat?
Big B! Big B. What's up, Big B? Thank you, brother.
Saw Big B last night. He was at the Jerry Kramer event. Good to see the youth showing up to the legends. And I saw his post where it was nice. Max Henderson, thanks for Super Chat. One, y'all rock. First time Super Chatter, long time fan. Two, I feel like the Colin Love is very is very high versus his biggest weakness thus far, accuracy. What's over under on 60 plus completion by the end of the season? Thank you, Max, for the super chat. Appreciate it. Wow, big super chat by Max. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Max. I think he'll improve as the year goes on. Tyler, thankfully, clipped my bit about completion percentage. If you haven't seen it from yesterday's daily, go check it out. It's on my timeline. But he can improve, and I think he will. I think Matt is going to continue to find ways to get him in rhythm early in these games, because that's the problem right now. It's like, yeah, he's coming out the gate hot, just like Brett used to, and things are sailing on him. He's missing guys wide, whatever. I will say this. I do think it will improve as the year goes on. I don't think it improves an insane amount, probably not majorly and or significantly. I think a lot of the work that will get done eventually on his accuracy, how he's throwing, the mechanics of it, that will get done in the offseason, right? Tom Clements will go to work, continue to refine it. Don't forget, I mean, Josh Allen came into this league, couldn't hit the broad side of the barn, right? He had to run all the time, still kind of does because he likes to run. But, like, he's become a much more accurate thrower of the football over, like, the time of his career in the NFL in a way that, you know, is not the norm. So it can be done. At some point, I think Jordan will improve slightly. I don't know if he ever, like, becomes an insanely, like, laser-like assassin with the football. But also, guess what? Doesn't need to. Like, I get that we're all obsessed with, like, oh, he's got to be over a certain percentage. And I'm not totally dismissing that. But, man, if you're winning football games, if you're scoring points, that's the name of the game, right? So we'll see. He's a bit of a throwback in that regard, actually. Because he does seemingly like to push the ball down the field, those are going to be somewhat some lower percentage throws more often than not. So you're not going to have a 60, 65% completion percentage. And I don't mind that as long as you're winning. Now, long way to go. We'll see how it develops. But I think it will continue to improve as we go along here this year.
Well, and to add on to that, I think that, you know, watching, it's a technique issue on a lot of his inaccurate throws, right? It's his foot is not set.
Some of them,
It's a lot of, I mean, if you look back on most of his really
He's hurrying things, he's just not set the right way.
He's not turned the right way, right? He's not turned towards the throw. So, you know, just improving those things should increase his accuracy. And then the second thing I want to say is that, you know, accuracy a lot of times has to do with your relationship with your wide receivers. If a wide receiver knows you're going to be a little bit short, he's going to go to get the ball more, right? And I think a lot of what you're seeing with the wide receivers is they're not fighting for the ball, right? Because, again, accuracy comes from completed passes, right? Accuracy doesn't come from this, like, arbitrary – I know PFF would love to do this, but this arbitrary, like, hey, I'm going to hit the target the right way, right? It has to do with the bond that you have with your wide receivers, right? If they catch the ball more, even in spaces that aren't necessarily accurate because they understand how you throw the ball, that should improve. So I think it's those two things that should improve his accuracy over time, for sure. Mimsy, thanks for the super chat. Green Bay has a lot of loose change via drop dimes. I agree with that. I agree. There were a lot more drops than three or four in the last 3 weeks. Okay.
Agreed.
100%.
Very much agree.
TronGod714, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate you. This one from Brian Murphy, Gutenkunst. Does Corey look hilarious or ridiculous in that hat? I want to see what the chat has to say about that while we're saying the other ones.
That'd be yes.
Do I look ridiculous or hilarious, though? I feel like I look more hilarious than ridiculous. I feel like
you look dope as shit, dude.
I feel like hilarious is more the ratio than ridiculous, but that's just me. Mike, do you remember what Deion did to us as Packer fans in the 90s? How can you cheer for him ever? Okay. A lot to unpack here. I put this in here, and yes, I do remember. I do have my feelings. Okay, first off, I feel this way. The same way you feel about Deion, probably, I feel about Michael Irvin. Like, I never really like Michael Irvin because it's just I always assume he's a Dallas Cowboy, right? And it's just like, the thing about Deion is, what's incredible about Deion, kind of like Bo Jackson, kind of like Barry Sanders. Like, I don't know. Barry Sanders didn't do this, but, like, being able to play multiple sports, played for multiple teams, and then the fact that he, as a broadcaster, he was incredible. And then the fact that he's done this for his son and like what he's done for his son over all of these things and the way that he cares about things, to me, transcends him playing for the Dallas Cowboys against the Green Bay Packers, just for me personally. So it's why I can kind of unpack that and be like, yeah, he heard
I
us.
Love, and, wait. And I love that you, the Michael Irvin thing is perfect because it's like Irvin was a cowboy, right? Like, and yep. he was, all I can think of in my life in the 90s is Michael Irvin pushing off to catch touchdown passes against the Packers. Yep. I hate him for life. Not real hate, but like hate him, right? With Deion, he was a Ronin. Like, are you going to pay him? He'll go there. I mean, look yep. at the fact that he like would switch from the 49ers to the Cowboys, and wherever he went, they won. You know what yep. I mean? Like, it doesn't matter, man. Like, I don't know. Deion just wins. Deion's just awesome. Well, he'll like, go to the highest bidder. And he's like that. Yeah. I don't associate him with the Cowboys that way. Not the way 100%. I do, Michael.
Well, and to me, Deion is the Don Hutson of his generation.
Oh, damn. That's lofty, but probably not incorrect. Probably not incorrect.
And so I just, you got to respect the hell out of that. Like, Don Hutson was yeah. like literally one yeah. of the greatest players to ever play football. So it's like in his correct. Generation, certainly, but multiple generations. I mean, there's a reason that it's called the Don Hutson yes. Center. You know what I mean? And that's
He's
where we train.
Timeless. Timeless.
Yeah. Doug Hype TV, thanks for the super chat. Knock, knock.
What's up,
Here's
Doug?
Your dagger. What are we going to ever get another video from Doug or what's going on here?
Yes. I didn't see a Doug video last emailed week. I wanted me to see and one. Said he. His DP was not available this past week, so we didn't get a Doug Hype promo video. But we will hopefully. Well, yeah. How do you think he's standing there in the bar with his dope shot, man? Like, yeah, of course he's got a DP. But you know, we'll see. We'll see a new Doug Hype promo. Hopefully, either tomorrow or next week. Well, they're coming.
I'm excited for that.
They're coming.
I'm really excited for that. I think. Somebody just compared me to – I think Brandy just compared me to Peter. I'm not going there. Dustin Logan, thanks for the super chat. Guys, Thursday night football crew love the beers. Oh, snap. Okay, Dustin Logan.
There you go, Dustin.
Dropping off the – Dustin just dropping some names there, dropping a little – dropping some carry the G off to the
love
crew.
It.
Go love back. It. Thanks for the super chat. Where are the Lions in your power rankings? I don't have power rankings. There's only one team that's in my power ranking, number one. That's the Green Bay Packers.
I can tell you where they are. They're with the other 31. There's the Green Bay Packers at one, and then there's everybody else 2 through 32. So they're in there. That's where they're at.
Brandy had a question that I actually want to answer, so I bring it up. Shout out to Brandy for all her help on Cheesehead TV and being there.
Brandy's
Innis Gaines
amazing.
Is also in that signer release as well, question mark. Innis Gaines, what happens with him?
No, I don't think so. He's, if I remember right, he's only been brought up twice, not three times. Patrick Taylor has to be signed at some point here. But, yeah, no, Innis Gaines I don't think has been brought up three times yet.
So Caleb, thanks for the super chat of cheese. I love the cheese icon, Caleb.
Cheese!
Appreciate thanks, your Caleb. Cheese. And then we got Tim Whitehouse with the $5 super chat with no question, just giving us $5.
His message retracted. Tim, what were you putting out there that you wanted to throw back?
He was probably agreeing with me that the hat is hilarious, and he just, you know.
That's
I'm
exactly
pretty sure
what
that's
was.
Where he was
that's,
going with that.
That's that
appreciate everybody giving us super chats and following this here program live. We are live. This is not a green screen behind me. Don't let anybody tell you differently.
Speaking of appreciating, we want to give a shout out to all of our Patreon members. Incredible happy hour last night that Corey had to miss because, of course, he had prior engagements with Jerry Kramer, which is completely understandable. But yeah, our biggest happy hour of the season last night. It was a ton of fun. Lots
oh, wow.
of great
Chuck
Packers
wasn't
talk.
There either because he was with me. So that's crazy.
Yeah.
The biggest one.
No,
we had double pages in the
biggest
Zoom.
One.
We had doubles.
Like, not even. Yes. Double pages
like
on the Zoom.
It was like a pandemic Patreon. Wow.
Dude, let me tell you something.
It's hot.
It was so I had it's to meet hot. Sarah down in Brooklyn for the Liberty playoff game. The New York Liberty were playing at Barclays, and it's like 5 to 7. And I told Sarah, I was like, oh, I got the happy hour. I'll be there as soon as I can, whatever. And it's 5 to 7, and we had 6 hands still raised. So wow. I was like, man, I was trying to get to everybody, but it was, yeah, people. ready to talk some Packers on the Patreon Carry the G Club Happy Hour.
We got one more from Dustin. Guys, come over for an old-fashioned. Go Pack, go. That's a great one to end on, actually. That's a great one to end on.
That is absolutely perfect. And also, of course, Patreon members, you're the bomb, as are our Carry the G Club members here on YouTube. I find that the Carry the G Club members really passionately show up for watch parties, which, of course, we will be live tomorrow night for Thursday Night Football. The Packers taking on the Lions. Hope you guys can all, you know, wherever you are, have us on as your second screen, hang out with us, talk some. There was a guy, I can't remember the name, shit. Last night on Patreon Happy Hour, there was a gentleman who said, you know, my wife doesn't watch the games and my kid was asleep. And like, I love it because I'm just hanging out and I'm by myself in a room, but it's like I'm with a bunch of friends. Like, that's the whole point of the watch party. We're not there to like take the place of whoever the commentators are. We're not presentationally trying to break down the game for you.
I am trying to tell you what the formations are, trying to think, like, why am I doing this? This is so weird. Why? I was even asking you
we'll talk about the game, obviously.
It's weird.
But it's like, you're hanging out with friends. Like, that was the whole reason we started doing it in the first place. It continues to grow. We really appreciate everyone hanging out every Packers game. It's dope. It's a lot of fun. Corey, you got anything else before we head out?
You know, besides, I want to be king in the north tomorrow, so that's what I'm looking forward to.
There you go.
And we're going to shoot some content. If anybody has content ideas for Cheesehead TV, cocktails, tailgate videos, whatever, contact@cheeseheadtv.com. We're always checking it. Aaron and I are always going through it. Please let us know if you have any content ideas or things that you want to see from Cheesehead TV and request.
You
want
to see
beer. Yep. What do you want to see? What do you feel like? Remind us a Packer fan, and we'll tell Wyatt and the team and myself, and we'll try to make it happen. I'm trying to figure out the Clay Matthews old fashioned. What is the Clay Matthews old fashioned? I'm trying to figure out a garnish that like has the hair, but I'm like, should I do a lemon? Like, I'm still trying to figure it out. So stay tuned. Stay tuned for the Clay Matthews.
It's coming, people.
Coming up.
That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.